Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Kevin and Andrew, and this is the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Coming to you on a Selection Sunday, where the Jayhawks, of course, get slotted as the one seed in the Midwest, like normal. Andrew, are you excited to be the one seed in the Midwest?
No, we're not, actually. Oh. Roy got that.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah, Roy got that, yeah.
Oh, excuse me. The four seed in the Midwest. Andrew, are you excited about that?
Yeah, it's a little different.
It is different.
So we can give us a moment to just be our obnoxious KU fan selves. This next couple minutes is the reason why people hate KU fans, but it's part of our identity. So we're just going to go ahead and do it. Man, four seed, Kevin. Like, we don't even know what this feels like.
It's been a while.
Oh man, we just like, you know, we're starting to have to like look up the rules. Like, oh, do we get like geography protection? Like, did they change the rules? Like, usually we're a one or a two.
By the way,
the answer is no, but we got it anyway.
Well, we did and we didn't. Like, the geography protection is really only for the first game, right? Or the first two games. We going out to Salt Lake City, Andrew.
Well,
that is not exactly geography protection, but
Salt Lake City.
But we did, Andrew, as we predicted on this podcast, I didn't, and talked about 100 times. I just hope we end up in the Midwest. I just hope we end up in the Midwest. Somehow, if we end up in the Midwest, we're gonna be okay, because if we somehow get out of the Sweet 16, get to Kansas City, then all bets are off. Anything can happen, and so, Andrew, we ended up in the Midwest.
We ended up in the Midwest in the Kansas City bracket, but we have to get there first.
Yeah.
And if, and I'll say it, it's a big if we get there, we will be alongside the North Carolina Tar Heels as the opponent we face. And I think we said last week on the podcast, want no piece of Roy right now. He's got quite the squad. Want no piece of Roy. But Kansas and North Carolina have, especially in the Bill Self era, have a storied history of matchups in tournament. You know, just add to it, right? Hashtag add to it.
Oh, man, I would love it if it happened. Frankly, only for the reason that means we made it there. Right. But we did. You're right. On the podcast, the very last thing we talked about was what kind of team do you want to avoid? And I'm pretty sure, well, I'm positive one of us was like, I don't want any part of North Carolina. And what can you do? But Andrew, it is what it is. If we end up in the Sweet 16 playing against North Carolina, that would be awesome in Kansas City. Everyone in the stands, I would be standing outside handing out Jayhawk stickers so that everyone in the stands is wearing a Jayhawk sticker on their sweater. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's maybe put a little psych out into the minds of the North Carolina fans, remembering back a couple of years, actually quite a few years. But let's talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about. You know, it's really just going to be maybe a brief touch on the Big 12 tournament. And by brief, I mean pretty brief.
Real brief.
And then let's just kind of talk about the tournament and the bracket generally, and then kind of the mood of how people are feeling and how the teams kind of are we limping in? Are we, you know, going in gangbusters? What are we feeling? And then kind of look ahead to what we could possibly do here, some predictions, and maybe kind of look at some other Big 12 teams. But where do you want to start, Kevin?
I guess let's quickly, very quickly, get this Big 12 thing out of the way. I don't have a lot of takes here other than, you know, we didn't play very well. And I'll take that back. I think we played okay. It seemed like we played pretty hard. We just didn't make anything. And they're
right.
Their defense made us look bad, and it was a terrible matchup. But you know what? Maybe it's a good thing that we had that matchup, because looking forward to this Northeastern team, it's starting to look a lot like the same sort of matchup. So, you know, maybe we learned something from that. Maybe we're not maybe not going to have to leave wide open 3-point shooters all the time. And maybe that will be something that we learn from, but I'm not too worried about it. You and I talked about it before the podcast. Actually, you predicted that KU would play Iowa State in the final. So props to you.
I did.
I'll give you that credit.
In the record that I predicted that KU would play Iowa State.
I will give you that credit. But you and I talked about it the day of. We're like, I'm not feeling too great about this. We even said, I think it was me, might have been you. It's like, I think there's a very good chance we lose by 15 points. And then we kind of went out and lost by whatever it was, 10, 11, 12 points.
So, well, it just, you know, going into that game on Friday night where we played West Virginia, you know, we ended up with an okay score, but it just felt like it was a slog and we weren't quite ready for it, especially Texas the night before. And then I watched the Iowa State games and, you know, they seemed to be on a roll. You're
clicking.
And, the key to a Bill Self offense, he'll tell you, make shots and guard somebody. I think we guarded somebody. I think we got up good shots. We just didn't make shots.
Yeah.
Like we literally were at the rim constantly. We started off 0-for-9 from three, made a couple, but finished off with a poor, poor percentage. You know, you got to make shots. And when we got the shots, we just didn't put them in the basket. So I think, you know, in a different day, maybe that game ends up a little differently because, you know, basket bounces one way or the other. I mean, we were getting the offense we wanted. It just didn't happen. So, you know, props to Iowa State. They get another tournament victory, but they are only rewarded with a 6th seed. You know, it's a full season gambit that we have here in the bracket.
You know, one of the things to kind of put a bow on this, I thought Self's post-game comments were really interesting. I don't know if you
caught these. He was very upbeat about it.
And the quote that I wrote down on and put on Twitter was something like, Self said, I'll be honest, I'm more excited about our team after today than I have been all season long. We didn't have anything, and yet we battled our asses off. And so, you know, if you're Self and you're going into, you know, the real tournament now, like that's pretty much what you say, right? You don't come in and be like, oh man, another slodgy, you know, ugly game. We just didn't have anything. Like this is all mind game thing, right? I mean, that he's doing here, but I'm still cool with it. I think it's true that they did try hard and they, you know, it's true they didn't have anything, but I'm not reading like a bunch into that like some KU fans did, like, oh wow, maybe we are gonna be okay. I'm like, I think that's just what you say in that situation. But I'm curious what you thought.
Well, he could have said it in a different way. He could have said something, you know, there's a way to make it upbeat without, you know, using those specific words. He chose those specific words for a reason. And obviously you want to have you don't want to be, you know, detrimental to your team or, you know, saying bad things about your team like you would maybe in December and January, like Bill Self's known to do. But, you know, it's just one of those things where he went out there and said it, gets everybody fired up. He is kind of a master motivator. He knows when to say things, how to say things, whether to say things in the media, say things to his guys privately. And this is obviously part of that. But, you know, I don't necessarily disagree. Obviously, if we'd have won that game, we would have been riding high, maybe even jump up to one of those three lines. Didn't happen, but there's a lot to be happy about. We did make it to the championship game with a little help in front of us. Showed some stuff, and you know, we've won a lot of games this year. And if you look at the teams that are composed in the bracket, Kevin, a lot of those are teams we've already played. I think we've played a huge percent. I think it's like 60%, 65% of our games against tournament teams.
That's crazy.
Go back and check my math, but it's over 50. And I think it gets closer to that 60 level.
Yeah, that's crazy. One more thing, just real quick. My favorite part of that Iowa State game was when Dedrick Lawson spiked the ball.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best part of that game.
I was just going to say that, like, I'm totally okay with that. He was frustrated. He was fired up.
I'm just,
at least he cared.
He showed some emotion. I loved it. Like, right. That's what I want to see from him in March. I want to see him actually like come out of his shell and like be like talk shit and stuff. Like yeah. Something totally like
Morris just, twin against VCU.
Yes. Like, yes. Just, I want to see, I want to see
lost
like
that game.
I want to see Prison Diedrich. Like, if we're talking about Prison Prison Mitch, maybe Mitch is going to rub off on him, and we see a mad Diedrich. That's what I want to see in the tournament. That'd be kind of fun. But anyway,
yeah. Well, Diedrich's got a lot to prove.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a 20-10 guy. He was a 20-10 guy at Memphis. You know, he went to the combine. You know, what's if he's going to try to go to the NBA this year? What's he going to get? Maybe a second rounder. But if he can show something in the tournament, I think he can help himself out quite a bit. You know, beyond 20-10 is a lot. I mean, that's pretty significant. Over the course of a season. But if he can show something, maybe that three-pointer is something that he can take to the NBA. Maybe he can guard a little quicker guys. He can actually show something. So he's got something to prove.
Yep, I agree. Andrew,
He can start off by spiking the ball at
everybody. Yes. let's jump into this thing. So just kind of high-level storylines, I think, makes sense. We see 3-1 seeds from the ACC. Big 12 gets 6 teams. Kind of surprised TCU didn't make it in. I don't know that they were like uber deserving, but I was still surprised, I think. The Big 10 gets 8 teams. ACC and SEC get 7 teams. So we are the fourth most in that world. A lot of interesting teams got in that were, kind of questionable. The Atlantic 10 gets 2 teams. Ohio Valley gets 2 teams. West Coast gets 2 teams. So some of those leagues that sometimes just gets 1 team in got a couple. I think that probably hurt TCU a little bit. They went with the mid-major a little bit more. But the Midwest region is, again, I think it feels like it always is just, again, kind of this crazy region. 3 of the top 4 winningest teams in the history of the NCAA tournament and the history of basketball, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Kansas, are all in the same region. We can talk about the bracket, but like, that's a story in itself. And I don't know, anything else kind of jump out to you at a high level?
That Midwest bracket, that would be a fun Kansas City weekend if those 3 teams make it. Those 3 teams in Iowa State, I think, are the potentials. You have fan bases who will travel, and obviously Iowa State, who considers the Sprint Center Hilton South. So that would be a ticket that will be pretty pricey, and I think there's a lot of KU fans who would be happy to pay for it. Other storylines that I'm seeing. Gonzaga gets a 1. They lose in their conference tournament. They still end up with the 1 seed, but it is out west. Somebody like Michigan State gets snubbed out of the 1. Otherwise, this is Duke's tournament, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's going to be. I think there's a lot of people out there, Andrew, that if you said Duke or the field, they'd take Duke, and I think that's crazy. But I think some people would do that.
And I guess what I mean by that is, it is theirs to lose. I think everybody's looking at them, with Zion now as the team to beat, and all of the attention will be put onto Duke. All of the attention will be put onto Zion. Whether that's deserved or not, it might be, because Zion's pretty good. He's a false prophet. Oh, is the real thing. Man, that sounded so good 6 weeks ago.
It did. It did. It's going to come back. It's going to resurrect.
But otherwise, I think the biggest thing is, everybody's going to be probably predicting a Duke North Carolina final, or maybe a Duke Virginia final. But I think all the focus is going to be on Duke. Maybe the other thing we can talk about is, Virginia, they're a 1 seed again. They play Gardner Webb as the 16 seed. I don't think they'll be losing in that first round, but look for them to get the monkey off their back, and look for them to be, I hate to say dark horse, but I think anybody other than Duke at this point is maybe a dark horse. Virginia could be a sneaky pick if you want to win your office pool and Duke goes down early, if you want to go against the trend. But of course, you wouldn't be a KU fan if you didn't pick KU to go all the way in at least one of your brackets, no matter what the season. My wife told me, I found this bracket for you to enter. It's for our realtor. The winner wins $100, and you can't pick KU to go all the way. And I said, why can't I pick KU to go all the way? And she says, well, you know they're not going to win, and you know college basketball enough that you could probably win it, but you're just going to ruin it by picking Kansas to go all the way. And I said, yes, I am.
Yeah.
And I said, what if Kansas wins? I would feel terrible if, you know, if I picked Virginia to win.
I think you could probably be okay if Kansas wins. You probably will not feel terrible about your $100 office pool at that point.
I mean, she's like, oh, I found this pool for you. I'm like, well, thank you for being my agent, my recruiter
I need a bracket agent.
A bracket broker.
Like a bracket broker.
Bracket procurement specialist. I go, I found this bracket. It's with Edelman and Thompson downtown. You can enter as a friends and family. I know a guy you can get you in as a friend. I know a
guy.
I got a guy.
Get you a seat at the table. Fed.
It's across the country. All the Fed employees have a bracket. They don't even check to see if you're an employee or not.
And the game is soft. The game is real soft.
These guys only pay attention in March. Everybody's going to be.
they take their paychecks on Friday and they put it all toward the pool.
Yeah, so there's probably there's something to be said for starting a business around that.
Yeah, I'd be interested, but I'm sort of a degenerate. So,
yeah. Andrew, well, there's a lot of us degenerates out here. Kevin, let's talk about the 4 seed. We're a 4 seed. We haven't been a 4 seed in a while, but I'll tell you, we have been a 4 seed 4 times in our history since they started seeding the bracket in 1981. 1994, we were 4 seed. We lost to,
I remember.
Purdue.
I don't remember.
You don't remember Glenn Robinson?
Oh,
I remember us?
Glenn Robinson. Oh, yeah. Yes, I do remember that. Okay, sorry.
Sweet 16 lost to Purdue. 2001. Sweet 16 loss to Illinois.
Yeah, I remember that one. 4 seed
with a little known coach, Bill Self. 2004, we were a 4 seed. We lost in the Elite Eight to Georgia Tech in overtime. That was Big Dub's junior year, Aaron Miles and Keith Langford junior year. Last time we didn't win the conference.
That's right.
And the last time we were a 4 seed was 2006, where we lost in the first round to Bradley.
Yeah.
There's been one team in the history of the NCAA tournament that has won the title as a 4 seed, and you know who this is.
Ooh.
You do know who this is.
I know off the top of my head.
1997.
Arizona?
Arizona.
Yeah.
Remember, we were the one.
Yes, I remember it. Yes, thank you.
We were the one in Arizona won that year, but that was a pretty sick 4 seed.
Yeah, Arizona, no kidding.
Pretty good.
If you look back at it now, yeah, for sure. You know what, Andrew?
Last year,
go ahead. Go ahead with your.
I'm just gonna say, last year, 4 seeds did not fare very well. 2 were knocked out in the first round, and only 1, it was Gonzaga, made it to the second weekend. But overall, in the history of the seeding, the 4 seed has an basically 80% winning percentage against the 13 seed in the first round. So that's the history of the 4 seed, and Kansas is a 4 seed. It all goes to say we're going to beat Northeastern. Right?
Well, yeah, right. The answer is right. I'm looking at the line here, Andrew. It opened up at like 10 or 10 and a half. In just like an hour and a half, it's now down to 8. So... bettors are not loving Kansas in this. Now, that might have something to do with the Selection Sunday show. Everyone being like, Kansas limping into the tournament, rah, 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 rah. Like, it was pretty negative talking about Kansas.
That was just Seth Davis sitting on his high horse and his high tower over there in New York City at this election show. It's like, oh, Kansas, from my point of view here in New York City, this is the way I see it. But
East Coast bias.
East Coast bias, Seth Davis doesn't know what he's talking about.
So that might have something to do with it, but it's only an 8-point favorite for Kansas. I don't know. Do you want to look at Northeastern? Do we want to talk about Northeastern?
A little bit. Yeah.
What do you
They're
got?
79th in KenPom. They've won their previous 7, so they're on a bit of a hot streak. Their last loss was on February 16th. How about that? They play 4 guards,
Uh-oh. Great.
They shoot a lot of threes.
Great.
Uh-oh. They're 22nd in the country in threes taken and 14th in percentage.
Oh, awesome.
You got a guy named
Vasa.
Vasa from Serbia. He's their leading scorer. I don't know how to say his last name. Pusica. We'll probably learn on Thursday. Pusica. Okay.
I have no idea.
We do have one common opponent, Vermont. And they lost 75-70, and we won 84-68. Other notable opponents they've had, Virginia Tech, they lost by 28, and they lost to Syracuse by quite a bit, 23. So they lost to those guys. Similar type of caliber teams. I think Virginia Tech's a four seed. Syracuse a little further down the line. But, you know, otherwise, don't know much about them. I think their mascot is some kind of dog.
It looks like a dog. Husky? Maybe a husky.
Huskies, that's what it is.
The Huskies?
Huskies.
Yeah. So the only thing I know about them is their three leading scorers are all, like, look like quintessential KU March Madness killers. They're all like little white guys. So I wasn't in love with that. That Vasa Pusica guy or whatever his name is, averages 18 points. He was first team all conference, you know, whatever. I think I saw he made 7 threes in the championship game that they won. So 7 of 11 from three. So that's good. A little scary. I guess that's a hot shooting. I mean, what kind of team is 13 wins over four? Probably someone who makes a bunch of three-pointers. Well, that's who we're playing against. The good news is we just played against one of those teams, and we've played against some others. And so maybe Self has figured out some plan to potentially defend the three-pointer. I haven't seen it yet all season, but, you know, the only good news is I don't know where Northeastern is. Boston? Is that right?
Boston. Yep.
But they have to travel further than we do to Salt Lake City. They probably don't have any fans there. But except for, you know, fans of whoever wins the first game against New Mexico State and Auburn. Whoever wins that game, I'm sure the fans who stick around will probably be pretty big Northeastern fans. But I don't know, Andrew. I mean, it is what it is. Like if you're gonna win. You know, if we're going to get out of this, you have to beat Northeastern. I mean, you have to figure out a way to beat a team that's the 13 seed. I don't care if they're underseeded. And hopefully we can find a way to do that. And hopefully they don't make 50 threes against us.
Right. And, you know, live by the three, die by the three. I'm not worried about our defense. I'm really not. I think our defense is pretty good. But we got to make shots. You know, guard somebody, make shots. You can win games. We got to make shots.
We got to
perform a little bit better than we did in the Big 12 championship game. That will not cut it, especially if we do get past Northeastern and play someone like Auburn. We hate to look forward, but we're going to, you know, probably not have a podcast in between the games. And, you know, in the past, we've done this where we've looked at the other two teams in the pod. So the other teams are Auburn and New Mexico State. Auburn, you know, they won the SEC tournament today. This is Sunday by, you know, really demolishing Tennessee.
Tennessee
was just – they must have just been worn out. You know, they beat Kentucky yesterday. That was kind of like their title game.
It was.
It was a rubber match against Kentucky. It's, you know, they were fierce opponents and fierce combatants all year against each other. And then it's like a letdown game. Like, oh, now I got to go play the championship game against who? Against Auburn. I got to go play. And Auburn just came out and rolled them. You know, Auburn's a 5 seed, but they're 13th in KenPom in comparison to we're 20.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I think most people think they probably are a little underseeded, but I don't know how much anybody took into account the game today. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I, you know, if that game had been played yesterday, I have a feeling potentially they could have been a 4, but maybe they'd have been our 4. But I, you know, they didn't seem to really take into account today's games. I think we saw that with Michigan State as well. Most people thought if they won that game, they'd probably have a good chance at a one seed. They didn't. So, you know, I don't know. Auburn looks they sure look pretty freaking good today. They won eight in a row. The last loss was Kentucky, where they got throttled. But otherwise, you know, I've had a really good season. You know, I think that what will be interesting is what people see between New Mexico State and Auburn, because New Mexico State is also kind of one of those teams people are looking at. They've won like 20 games in a row, Andrew. I don't know if that something like that. They haven't lost since January 3rd. So they've been on a little bit of a run themselves. And I think that I think they won their championship game by like 30 points, if I recall. Mm. So they are legit. And I don't know what their KenPom is, Andrew. Do you what was New Mexico State? Like somewhere around 50. 49.
I can okay.
49.
Well, New Mexico State, you remember, we did play them.
Yeah.
In a semi-neutral in the Sprint Center, and we almost lost.
Yeah, that was an ugly game.
That was an ugly game. That was the first game we played without Doak after his first injury, that he had an ankle injury where he was out a couple games, you know, the first time before he came back. So we had to really kind of retool, refigure out everything, and we barely won. I think Diedrich had an okay game. I think Dotson had an okay game, and it was really kind of muddy the rest of it. But credit to New Mexico State for being part of that too. Obviously, after that game, they went on quite a bit of a run the rest of their non-con and into their conference season. So they'll be a formidable opponent against Auburn, and if they do beat Auburn, against us in the second round. So, you know, it's quite the pod. I mean, that's what you expect from teams like this. You have a 4-5, then you have the 12 and the 13. A lot of upsets come from those 12 and 13 seeds. We've made some money on those guys before.
Yeah.
And now it's also on the other side of it.
It looks like Auburn is a 7-point favorite against New Mexico State. So about the same as us, interestingly, against Northeastern. I don't really have anything else in our pod, Andrew. Maybe just a little bit more bracket talk.
Sure. Let's just go around the Big 12 real quick. Texas Tech is a 3. They're the highest seeded Big 12 team. And they're in the West. You have K-State is a 4 in the South. Let's circle that. Let's go back to them. Iowa State is a 6 in the Midwest. In our regional, Oklahoma is a 9 in the South. Baylor is a 9 in the West. TCU did not make it. They are a 1 seed in the NIT. And Texas is a 2 seed in the NIT. Texas, the Shaka Smarts. Shaka Smart will be coming back next year.
How about that?
After all the rumors about him being fired and his $13 million buyout, Shaka Smart will be returning. You know, they did accept that bid to the NIT, so good for them. I doubt Jackson Hayes will play.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it.
We'll play just because why would you play in the NIT when you are a top 15 pick? So, moving on, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the bracket generally?
You know, the
K-State? Focus on K-State?
Go for it. What you got on K-State?
They play UC Irvine. That's going to be a trendy upset. That's going to be a trendy upset.
They're going to lose that game.
The Anteaters. I remember sitting in a Las Vegas bar at that place outside the Flamingo, or is it Flamingo? It's that newer place. We were watching a game, and the entire UC Irvine contingent from the entire country was located in this one spot. And I'm like, wow, are there really that many UC Irvine fans? And they almost beat Louisville. And
I remember that. Was that Rumball?
No, it was some other place. And is that new like trendy area by whatever it's called, the
link
thing that goes, the thing that goes in circles. Is it what it is? What's the like the London Eye, the Ferris wheel?
Yeah. The high roller.
Yeah, yeah, but what's that area called?
The link.
Yeah, well, there's a bar there where the entire, every single basketball fan of youth of the Anteaters was present, and they almost won. So, but this year, K-State, especially if there's no Dean Wade, like, I don't know what the deal with Dean Wade is and him getting injured right when tournament time happens, but come on, dude.
They are a 5.5-point favorite in that game, Andrew.
Oh,
5.5. So I don't know.
That's pretty low for a 4 seed.
It is pretty low.
Almost, I think I'd take K-State, actually. After saying all this, I think I'd take K-State.
I think I'm taking UC Irvine straight up.
Ooh. Little ML?
Like, I don't feel great about K-State in that game. Andrew, let's do, while we're talking about that, any other kind of upset watch? Let's do some upset watch.
So we have been actually pretty good about picking some upsets on this podcast in the past. When is we've been on record? I think we've been on record in regards to
Mercer
Duke,
over Duke.
Mercer over Duke. That's our claim to fame, right?
I think so.
I think we discussed Norfolk State, but we weren't serious about it, so that doesn't count. Probably Mercer is the biggest one, and that's a really big one. Otherwise, you know, it's tough this year. I have Texas Tech doing pretty well. In terms of upsets, maybe look to Liberty. Belmont's a really good team if they can make it out of the first four.
Yep. Give me Yale.
I don't love Yale.
Ooh, give me Yale.
Okay, so what do you got for Yale? Who does Yale have? I need to pull up the bracket.
LSU. It's the storyline.
Oh, that is totally a storyline.
14 over game. 3. Give me Yale.
Especially with Yale going through all this like turmoil right now. You know. Or with LSU going through all this turmoil. Hold on, I can't find the bracket.
You can find the goddamn bracket by typing in www.bracket.com and searching for bracket. It's everywhere.
I know the last one pulled up like this video that like had to play first. I'm like, I don't want to.
I can't find the bracket.
Okay. Now I'm set. There's a little team called Gardner Webb. Watch out for them as a 16 seed.
Okay.
Just kidding. No. Virginia's going to win that game. All right. So if I had to go on record and pick a bold one, I'm going to go with Old Dominion over Purdue. 14 over a 3.
I don't think that's that crazy.
Okay. It's a 14 over a 3.
No, I mean, I think the seed is crazy, but I'm not like, I think that could happen.
Okay. Otherwise, man, I don't know. Vermont's pretty good over Florida State, but Florida State looked great.
They did look good
this weekend. Marie State over Marquette, although I think Marquette is good. Their little dude who we played, what's his name?
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
See, we're prepared. I think he's going to have a breakout March. So I would pick them. Marcus Howard. That dude scores like 50 points a game. Look for Marcus Howard to have a pretty big March in a pretty big tournament if Marquette can do some damage. I mean, otherwise, I don't know. I don't like Houston.
I don't either.
I don't think Houston's very good. I think Iowa State can do some
damage.
I think
Iowa State's going to win. I think Iowa State got a really good draw for being a 6.
Agreed. You know, you give them some credit. They lost 3 games this year, but, and you know, that the American Leagues are the American.
It's so bad.
Athletic is, you know, it is what it is, but it's nothing to write home to mom about. So Iowa State looks good. You know, we've got our work cut out for us. I mean, I don't know. I guess Old Dominion's my pick.
You like ODU? Give me Montana over Michigan.
Oh!
I mean, if we're going to do something crazy, Montana's legit. They're legit.
Okay.
Colgate over Tennessee is my other 15 over 2 I'm thinking about.
Man.
Colgate can shoot the 3, so there's something there. Yeah. I'm just calling shots now just in case we get something on audio.
Yeah, so let's just go to put them all out there so we can just cut it. Okay, St. Louis over Virginia Tech. Oh, that's going to be a big one. St. Mary's over Villanova. Huge. Like, just watch out for that. Liberty over Mississippi State. We already said that one.
I did see something that was pretty funny, Andrew. The head coach of North Carolina Central And this was yesterday. So before the bracket comes out, he says, you know, he found out he's probably, you know, they're probably going to be a 16 seed. And he says, quote, "Some coaches will say, we'll take on anyone. We'll be ready. But I don't want any part of playing Duke. Us playing against Zion would be like me playing against my six-year-old son." And then guess what, Andrew? North Carolina Central's in the play-in game to play Duke.
So, yep.
I thought that was pretty funny.
They probably did that on purpose. They did that on purpose. They're obviously on Twitter. They're sitting there late at night, you know, getting ready to wrap up for the night on this bracket. Like, you know, we've got a pretty good bracket. Anything else we want to do? And then they're looking on Twitter. Hey, guys.
I got one
for look you. At this. Look at this. Should we put Duke with them? Oh.
Yeah.
All right, well, Kevin, let's wrap up.
I want to talk about the team for a second before we go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay. I want to talk about like how you're feeling about the team. You know, is Seth Davis right in that we're limping into the tournament? Are you, there's a small contingent of fans who are just kind of looking forward to next year.
I think it's bigger than small. It feels like it.
It's not majority and it's not, you know, that big, but it's some folks. Probably mostly on Twitter.
Yeah,
we're very vocal about it. But there are some folks out there like, okay, I'm just ready to be done with this season. Me personally, I'm not. This season has just started. March Madness starts on Thursday. Well, Tuesday, but March Madness starts on Thursday. It's a whole new opportunity for us. You know, this is a team that has been at the highest of the highs and maybe not the lowest of the lows, but pretty low this season. You know, we've got several days to get this team ready, to gear up for a tournament style, you know, two games in 3 days and repeat if we can get them and go back to Kansas City. I'm very excited. I think that we can, you know, do some damage and, you know, maybe I hate to say salvage, this season, but, you know, really make a mark where people will remember this season.
You're exactly right, Andrew. This team has a lot to prove still. You know, they did not validate their season with a Big 12 regular season title. They did not validate their season with a Big 12 tournament championship. And, you know, this is kind of the last shot to really validate the season. And I have a feeling that these guys, you know, for whatever reason, you know, whether it's ending the streak or whatever else, that there's some extra oomph inside to try to really, you know, make this season a memorable one. And this is really the last chance to do so. And I think that we've got a chance, you know, the way this sets up, you know, we're a 4 seed. So it's not like you can expect an easy path, but if we somehow get through these first 2 games and you get back to Kansas City and you get back to the confines of a place that you know you can win at, and you've got some friendly fans, and it's the show. If you got North Carolina and potentially Kentucky there, I mean that would be crazy, and that's what you sign up for. And so hopefully, Andrew, this is the last chance really to validate the season. I think the guys really, we've talked about it. This would be the team that somehow wins their way to a Final Four and just completely shuts everybody up. That would be so amazing. And just getting, I think, out of this first weekend and getting the Sweet 16 would be a great season, you know, considering all that's happened. After that, it's house money. And I expect Kansas to be in the Sweet 16. I don't know about you.
I do too. I think it'd be great to come up to Kansas City, you know, give our best shot against Roy and then, you know, see where things go. But it would be, you know, a Sweet 16 is a good achievement for this team. You know, put a banner up for that, but you know, it is something these guys can look back on and say, you know, this was a good season. Kind of like a 20 or 2009 season. We look back on that, like, we didn't put a banner up, but that was got to the Sweet 16, something to build on. And you know what? This team is really young. It is really young, and there's going to be a lot of returning talent, maybe not Doak, maybe not Diedrich, but, you know, a lot of these guys will be back. This is something where they can build on and, you know, maybe build for next year too. But here, this is 2019. This is where we want to be. we've got enough talent that we can put on the floor where we can get to Minnesota. If we put it all together. We've just got to do it. We got to guard somebody. You got to make shots.
That's exactly right. And as you mentioned, Dedrick has a lot to play for. Quentin has a lot to play for. These are guys that expected to not be here next year. And if everything breaks right for them and they have a great March, you know, that recency bias has moved a lot of players into the NBA before, you know, and perhaps they could follow the Malik approach. You know, he obviously hasn't gotten his ticket punched yet, but I think a lot of people expect that maybe that would happen. But certainly his March helped him, you know, certainly catapult to that decision. Quentin could have the same thing happen if it all clicks at the right time. And Andrew, the one thing I guess I'd say is we still have not seen our ceiling on this team. It's been the ceiling, the goalposts have moved a little bit on the ceiling as the season has progressed with different people and different personnel and everything else that's gone on. But the good news is, you know, there still is a ceiling, I think, that we could reach. And, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, they find a way to do it here in these next few games and carry it on throughout the postseason. I think that's all I got, Andrew. You got anything else?
I don't have anything else other than, you know, let's go show it out on Thursday. If you can get to Salt Lake City, you should go. If not, you know, save your money for Kansas City because we're going to come back.
And those tickets are going to be expensive.
Yes, they are.
They are going to be pricey. But man, that would be a ton of fun. I mean, that would be so awesome if we ended up with Kansas and Kentucky and North Carolina and
Iowa State could be another one.
I know. If it ended up with those three in Iowa State, that would be a just enormous shit show down in the Power and Light. And a lot of fun. So I think you would almost just have to go down there and be part of it, right? Even if you can't get in the building, because there will be nothing like that, even the Big 12 tournament. That'll be super cool. So fingers crossed, Andrew, that we get there. Hopefully we can take care of the Huskies of Northeastern and then get past that round of 32, find us coming back to Sweet 16 in Kansas City in the Midwest bracket. We will be back one way or the other with a podcast, hopefully previewing those matchups. Until then, rock job. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top just like we should be. Started from the bottom thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years
that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
it's
baby.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.